आप सुन रहे हैं SBS हिंदी। अपने रेडियो पर हर शाम सुनिए हमारा कार्यक्रम। आप हमारा कार्यक्रम हमारी वेबसाइट पर और SBS रेडियो मोबाइल ऐप द्वारा सुन सकते हैं। sbs.com.au/hindi पर जाएं। Thank you, Mr. John Zubisky, for having this time for us. Welcome to SBS Hindi Radio.
My pleasure.
John, your book, The Mysterious Mr. Jacob, Diamond Merchant, Magician and Spy, the man behind Nizam of Hyderabad's famous Jacob Diamond. So many stories about him. So what did you find most fascinating about him and how this all happened?
There were so many fascinating aspects to his story, not least of which just trying to find out exactly who he was, where he came from, his modus operandi, and what happened to him. Because although he was such a very well-known character in British India in the 1880s, 1890s, nobody really knew, you know, who he was. There were all sorts of theories about, you know, that he might have been born in Italy, or that he was a gypsy, or that he was Persian or Jewish, or, you know, Polish even, and how he came to amass such extraordinary wealth and have such influence. And look, I guess I came across the story when I was writing my first book, which was The Last Nizam, an Indian Prince in the Australian Outback. And, of course, that was about Mukherm Jah, the eighth Nizam. And Mukherm Jah was once the owner of that Jacob Diamond, which was known as the Imperial Diamond that you talked about in your introduction. And that diamond has a long history as well. And so when I was researching that first book, I stumbled across the character of Jacob, and I thought, you know, he would make a great biography, and that's how it came about.
Was it very easy to get all the information about Mr. Jacob? That so many stories around him, kind of a magician too, because there is a story floating around that he could walk on the water.
Yes. He could walk on water. He could, you know, he could take a sword and it would pass through your body and out the other side, and so, withdraw it, and nothing would happen.
All that true, or out of
a walking stick. Look, with any of this sort of magical things like that, look, all those things are possible to do with the right sort of, you know, props and tricks and so on. Attribute them to pure magic is another thing altogether. But getting back to your other part of the question about how hard it was or easy it was to research his life, it was very difficult, very difficult. Again, because, you know, he was a very private person. He didn't give out many interviews. It was very difficult to separate fact from fiction because, again, people who met him or turned him into characters in their books, like Rudyard Kipling did, they also embellished details about his life, and he never did anything to, you know, deny the factuality of any of this. So separating fact from fiction was quite difficult.
So you did travel to India also about this?
Oh, yes, yes.
How was that, the whole experience of going back to India and then finding the places? And India has changed a lot since the time,
Yes, of course, yes. To research the book, I had to do research in London, where they've got the India Office records at the archives of the British Library. I went to Turkey, where he was born, in southeastern Turkey. And, of course, I spent a long time in India because He had a shop in Simla, and he lives in Bombay, and he spent time in Calcutta. So I went to most of my time in those places. Again, trying to find traces of his life, and there are still some traces. You can still see the flat that he lived in Bombay. Unfortunately, the house that he lived in Simla was demolished, and that was only shortly after I got there.
Yeah.
I was very lucky to have seen that. His shop, unfortunately, has disappeared. Many people have tried to find it or locate it or try and work out where it was. And but it's certainly it's not there anymore. But again, just the process of searching for these landmarks, for these traces of Jacob, that also helped me understand him as a character and piece together the different aspects of his life.
Mm. So many places you went and you looked for the records and Calcutta, Mumbai, Hyderabad, all that. Any cherished memory you would like to share about this?
Oh, look, I think for me, going to Simla was probably the most special part. I mean, of all the, you know, as you say, India has changed a huge amount.
Yeah.
But Simla, of course, it's much bigger place than it was when he was there. But many of the landmarks, unfortunately not his shop, but many of the other landmarks are there, and they're much the same as they were in his time. Peterhof, which was the Viceroy's residence at the time, is still there. As I said, his house is still there. The mall that he had his shop on is you know, it's, yeah. But it was, but I think it, for me, probably the most powerful part was actually going to his house, which although it had been long since abandoned and after he had lived in there, it had, you know, had different occupants and was part of a girls' school at one point. You could still, you know, to stand there in the dining room where he entertained guests and he did these amazing feats of magic, and you could imagine people, you know, in this sort of slightly dim and smoky room, which would have been full of amazing artifacts and curios and precious things from all over the world that he, you know, dealt with and that he collected. Mm. You know, that was probably the most special part for me.
Things have changed, but I was just reading through one of your view. It said that you have painted such a picture of that era. It's just seamless. So what could be the best aspect of writing?
Well, I the thing I love about writing, and particularly writing this sort of historical narrative, is imagining India as it was then. I mean, I've been going to India for a very long time and love the country, obviously, and I'm fascinated by history and I'm fascinated by the places. It's not just Jacob's story, it's the story of the people who he mixed with and the people who were around then and what was happening at the time. And to me, it's all so fascinating, whether it's, you know, Jacob, you know, spying on behalf of the British to help them, you know, at the time of the Second Afghan War, or whether it's, you know, the viceroys that were his customers, whether it's characters like Madame Blavatsky of the Theosophical Society who he crossed paths with, whether it's the, you know, people like, of course, the Nizam of Hyderabad, fascinating characters, you know, who lived in extraordinary places, you know, rulers of Hyderabad, princely states, trying to sort of recreate that ambience, the atmosphere, what life was like then, how someone like a Jacob could succeed in this sort of milieu was what I tried to sort of get across in the book, and hopefully I did.
And you did it. I mean, it's magical. It's magical.
Thank you.
So for you, it has become easy and you could do it. So what would be your advice to the budding writers? Your word of wisdom, I should ask.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I can only really advise people when it comes to writing nonfiction and biographies, I guess. It's the nonfiction that I enjoy writing most of all, because you get an opportunity to delve into a person's life and also to delve into the society that they lived in and the times they lived in. I mean, first you need an interesting character, of course, and then you need to be able to make sure you've got access to enough information to be able to build up a portrait of that person's life. Mm. And then you've got to do enough background research to be able to, you know, talk about the sort of world they lived in. And you need a good story. I mean, you know, Jacob was a perfect character because he came to India penniless. Within 15, 20 years, he was the most successful jeweler, diamond merchant in on the subcontinent. And then, you know, he had the drama over the Jacob Diamond the trial in the Calcutta High Court.
Yeah.
And things went terribly, terribly wrong for him afterwards, you know. So he went from rags to riches and ended up in rags in Bombay, you know. So it's got all that drama.
Yeah.
I think you need to have some drama in the story as well. And Jacob, there was plenty of drama there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And finally, that diamond, as the story goes, it was found in the shoe. So have you seen that diamond?
I have. Yes, I have seen the diamond. I was in Hyderabad. I think it was 2006. It happened to be on display at the Salarjung Museum, together with the other, it was called the Jewels of the Nizams. It was really the crown jewels of Hyderabad. They were put on display. I think the whole collection only went on display twice, once in Delhi and once in Hyderabad, which is a terrible shame because it's such an extraordinary collection and now sitting in the in a vault in the basement of the Reserve Bank of India, and we're just gathering dust. I have seen the diamond, and it is an extraordinary piece. But when you see the whole collection, it's just
amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
This has been so wonderful talking to you, and all our wishes for your next book. And I'm sure it must be another fascinating story.
Oh, yes. No, the next one I'm writing on Indian magic, you know, the extraordinary characters, people like P.C. Sorkar, who everybody into your program, I'm sure, is familiar with, and many lesser known but just as extraordinary people who magicians in India who made magic, the Jaduwalas, fantastic stories that are there. Yeah.
So we'll wait for that. So all the best. Thank you
very much, Anita.
SBS रेडियो से डाउनलोड करने के लिए आपका धन्यवाद. हमारा पूरा कार्यक्रम आप कैसे सुने, इसके लिए sbs.com.au/hindi पर जाएं.